step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Antigua, Armenia, Australia, Belgium, Brazil, Chechnya, Hungary, Ireland, Japan, Latvia, Mexico, Nigeria, Philippines, Russia, Slovenia, South Africa, United States.
Greetings, netizens around the world. The planet is once again listening to the technology show for Generation E. Mick Williams Cyberline coming at you around the world via the internet and on podcast. Okay, so are your headphones blaring?
Yeah, I was able to turn those down.
Okay, I am.
But yeah, it's
well, hold on. Okay, talk.
There we go. Much better. All right.
Oh, I just love kicking this thing in the shins, getting out the date, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, goodness.
Kick the shins out of those microphones.
Screwed up the opening. What else can we do to make this day wonderful? Anyway, hello, boys and girls of all ages. I'm McWilliams, and Polytech is our business. Yes, I went back to the old script because Dummy didn't have his thing open. So anyway... just letting you all know that we are here once again to do a great show for you, Mick Williams Cyberline, and we're going to talk about several different things tonight. And one of the things that caught my attention, Dilbert and Bizarro have been cut from Lee Papers.
Really? Why?
Well,
I know. I bet I know why on one of them.
Well, supposedly... the comic strips that you're used to seeing in the papers, in a lot of papers, are slowly going away. And Dilbert, was it Scott Adams, is the creator of it.
Right.
And he said that he's lost 80 newspapers. And then Dan Piaro, who we've had on the show years ago, he's, I don't know if he's still living here in Dallas or he's moved somewhere else. But basically he does Bizarro. There's the one panel thing that's black and white during the weekdays and does a color one on Sundays. And he's also said that he's had issues, but it's also affecting his revenue. Because even though they do a lot of stuff remotely on the internet, but a bulk of their revenue comes from being in these syndicates with these papers and stuff. So I'll be able to look at that. Thing kind of caught my attention, which I think is a little strange, is, okay, well, where did it go? Oh, there it is. Kamala Harris wants diversity in the Space Force.
Oh, joy.
Didn't Nichelle Nichols do this already?
You know, I want unity in the Space Force. And I, believe me, I don't care what color anybody is in the Space Force, black, white,
you know, I want some gay, laser straight, cannons in the Space Force.
You know,
I want to go blow things up in the Space Force.
But the diversity in the Space Force just means that, oh, let's think about everybody by what group they belong to. And then, you know, that's the first thing that we think about.
Well, one of the things that they pointed out in the article, I kind of briefly glanced at it, was there's a lot of jobs in the space workforce that don't require like going to a high college and 4-year degree and everything, which they feel has kept a lot of minorities from being in the space services, I guess, overall. And so now they're wanting to get stuff done with technical schools and various things. And I'm kind of on board on that. I think this should be more vocational. Wouldn't it be great to see your high school say, hey, there's a vocational class on how to do rocketry?
Yeah, I think it'd be wonderful.
Yeah, screw shop and body work. We're going to do rocketry. So I kind of read over it, and she's wanting to have more people, diversity in this, that, and the other. And I'm like, just something's been happening this week where, was it a couple Mondays ago, was the 60th anniversary of the Rice University speech with JFK. You know, we choose to go to the moon, right?
Because it is hard.
That's right. Not because it's easy, but because it's hard. And so they had this big deal at Rice. They had all these dignitaries and everything there to celebrate it and give speeches and things. And what happens on the other side of the fence? Joe Biden comes out at about the same time they're having this whole deal with Rice, which is being televised. And he kind of walks all over it and tries to steal the thunder. Now, he's at the JFK Library talking about the cancer moonshot. And my first thought was, dude, do you not remember that Obama said that Joe's on it back, what, 2013, 2014? What have we heard from there to now from Joe Biden and these people that he's gotten together, supposedly, about the cancer moonshot? He's treating it like this is a brand new thing. No, dude, you've been attached to it supposedly for the last 8 years or so. You know, and he walks all over the 60th anniversary. So here's Nichelle Nichols passing away back at the end of August, I think it was.
Yeah.
And of course, her greatest thing, apart from being in Star Trek and all of this, was that she went to work at NASA. And she had her own company, and she contracted with them to get something, was it like 1,800 people. All these people together and put in classes that were females, minorities, everything. She worked on this, and the class was, they had so many people that they actually extended the class of 25 is what it was supposed to be. They added more in that class. So she's already done a lot of this work.
Wonderful.
And now, not too far off, within 30 days, here's Kamala Harris going, I'm going to diversify the space program. And yeah. I'm like, wait a minute. Didn't Nichelle already do this? We have rules and regulations set up for people, minority color, sexual orientation, whatever, that can apply. And if they got the criteria and the credentials and everything, and they pass all the tests of, you know, what it takes to be in the space program, then you obviously will be in a class in the space program.
I want to know what this really means, though. Is the space program not diversified today?
Well, like I said, you know, Nichelle laid that groundstone.
Hey, well, that's what I'm getting at is, you know, Kamala comes out. It's like she's going that she's looking for a problem that does it exist or does it not?
She's looking for a solution to a problem that doesn't exist.
You know, she's just pandering. Sounds like pandering to me. And that's disappointing because really what the space program is about is setting our sights to something higher, setting our sights to going out there and exploring that is supposed to advance our technology. And that's what we're supposed to be doing with the space program. It's a wonderful program. It's giving people dreams to go after. And yes, it does not matter what group you belong to. Everybody should rise up, you know, should go after these dreams, reach out for these dreams. They're wonderful.
Yeah. And supposedly they have done this deal, according to what they're talking about. They announced the pilot program that they're going to increase training in the space sector with numerous space companies led by Blue Origin, Boeing, Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, and other participants, including SpaceX, Amazon, and Rocket Lab. And of course, you know, there's a whole list there. The guy's been around for years doing all of this stuff. And according to them, they said that the pilot program is going to help thousands of traditionally underrepresented workers into the space field to learn skills and access opportunities they need to take on the 21st century space jobs. according to a fact sheet from the White House that was released back on September 9th. So training is going to be centered in three locations, which is Florida Space Coast, Louisiana, Mississippi Gulf Coast, and Southern California, and not much else was available at the time. So they're going to work on more diversity of the workforce through a wider swath of educational institutions beyond Ivy League and other rich engineering and science schools. They're looking to include historically black colleges and universities, tribal colleges and universities, minority servicing institutions, community colleges, and trade vocational schools. And she held this National Space Council meeting thing back in Houston on September 9th. She emphasized that jobs in the Space Force don't necessarily require a four-year degree, which is often a barrier to diverse communities due to the investments of money and time involved. There are thousands more jobs for technical workers, good-paying jobs that often do not require a four-year degree but need to be filled. So what are those kind of degrees requiring only a high school diploma? Well, they include welders. I'm thinking welders need a little more than a high school degree. That would be more like a tech vocational or something like that. Am I wrong in that? Because, you know, we already have a shortage of welders because a lot of people that were welding have left. They've either grayed out or died. And the welding community has been doing their darndest to try to get people in and learn how to, you know, have a welding deal to where they can make a living at it. Non-destructive testers. Okay, so the destructive testers need a degree?
I guess so.
Oh, you did a four-year degree in order to blow that up.
Well, I mean, I guess the question is, what kind of a degree do you need to be a rocket scientist?
Yeah. And then they have machinists and inspectors, industrial machinery, mechanics, and assemblers. And I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking, well, there's some heavy-duty stuff to be a machinist. I don't know if you can, like, get a four-year degree in machinery, but there's... I mean, it's not just like walk in and say, oh, can you drill that? Okay, well, now you're a machinist. But they're saying that an associate's degree from community college opens up the positions as an avionics technician, for example, or a quality control analyst, and salaries for just these jobs start around $35,000 a year, but may go higher. And the employment's at a 10-year high of 151,797 people, which I'm kind of surprised at, because when you think about the space agencies, you're always hearing about budgets being slashed, you know, people being, programs being canceled and things like this, yet they're on a 10-year high. And then the Bureau of Labor Statistics in 2021 data parsed that the Space Foundation says it's 20% up from 2016. But one of the things that I found fascinating about this, it says current statistics on space diversity are not widely available. And collection methodology is somewhat patchy. That said, some skill efforts from a directorate at NASA and the United Kingdom Space Skills Alliance suggest that women make up around 30% of the space workforce. People of color make up less than 32%, depending on the statistics used. So here we are doing all of this stuff, telling me there's not enough diversity and everything, yet we can't get the straight dope on the statistics.
According to this,
it's kind of sketchy. I got one side saying something, one saying another. So I think the first thing we probably need to do is have a more in-line way of finding out these statistics and having more accurate numbers.
Yeah, but then you're getting everybody to think of themselves in terms of, I'm a group, I am a this, I am a that.
Well, true.
And that's kind of disappointing because really, I think everybody should think of themselves as individuals. And everybody should be judged on their own merits as individuals. Comes down to as simple as that. And when we go and start putting in these metrics, and I want everything to be balanced. I want everything to be just open, fair. Everybody should be judged on the content of their character. They should not be judged by attributes that they are born with.
Right.
When it gets down, simple as that. And when we get into these other groups trying to say, okay, you know, you need to think of yourself as a group. You know, we need to start measuring the groups. Then you're putting that first and you're not putting the individual first. So it gets real tricky real fast.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about the pay side when we come back in just a minute. You're listening to McWilliams Cyberline, the world's first polytech talk show. We'll be right back. Big William Cyberline with you. Host 2020 at cyber-line.com. Facebook.com/cyberlinenet. And don't forget the ever-loving Tweety over there at Cyberline USA. Also go to cyber-line.com, where you can click on the button that says listen to the current show. You can also click that on, listen to us live 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern time. And if you missed last week's show, well, look at the Spreaker thing up top. Click that on. There's last week's show. Plus, tons of places down at the bottom where you can catch us all over the place. And that's courtesy of our social media czar arena, Amy Lynn, taking care of for you on that as well. So before we leave off of this, just want to talk about the back end of this. About we've talked about the diversity, but I also want to talk about the whole pay structure thing. I like to see the vocational tech definitely get into this.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we've got, I think it's called LTI now. It used to be known as Lincoln Technical Institute. And we've got a training center just down the road here in Grand Prairie. And they teach people how to work on jet engines. You know, they do inspections on things like that.
You know.
So why can't you have something in a vocational tech in that genre to be able to do space stuff?
I absolutely agree. And cater to all schools when it gets down to it, especially if you're teaching something that is something that they can go out and use tomorrow. Look at all these degrees that are colleges have charged these really, really high tuitions for, and then people go out and they can't use their degrees. That's kind of scary stuff out there. This one where they're the vocational stuff where you can always, everybody always needs a welder. So everyone always needs a mechanic.
Yeah.
There are so many places out there that need this stuff. What about robotics? Robotics is huge right now.
Well,
and we really need to get into that more.
It's funny that you mentioned that because, you know, one of the big things here for us, and I took 2 years electronics is vocational in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And it last couple of years after we did, because the person that was the teacher that did it retired, they switched from tubes and stuff to digital, lasted, and then all the schools said, oh, this is too expensive to keep all this going, and a lot of the vocational was gone. Now it's making a comeback. But part of our deal from taking that two-year course and setting us up got us in the door to be able to go down to Texas A&M and be a four-year EE, electrical engineering.
Okay.
That was kind of your goal. Well, you got this, you got your basics. Now, if you can figure out the tuition and everything, go down to College Station and go get your EE.
Mm, yeah.
With robotics, a lot of electronics and all these things that's going on, I would like to see places like A&M be able to do something in the way of getting people in there to get an electrical engineering degree so that can use that in the space program and other services.
Right.
Now, how, you know, there's scholarships, yeah, but I think they need to do something to make it affordable. If they're going to do something like this and say, well, this is the path you're going to go, we're going to like cut you a discount or something to get you in there and get it faster. And of course, there are
right.
vocational places like Dallas Community College has stuff for electrical engineering and also for software development and everything
else. You
know, else.
Part of these schools get out of it because the insurance is so high on this stuff. And it's something when I went through high school, I'm sorry, when I went through middle school, we had wood shop. It was fantastic. I wasn't into auto shop, but there was an auto shop
yeah.
in middle school. And a lot of people took advantage of that. I don't see these things as popular anymore, but yes, they are. If that, and then you combine in, if you throw in something new with the auto shop, I'm sorry, with the robotics, you've got everything. And our country needs to go down these types of roads to where you're giving people skills. They need these skills in order to operate in the future. We're looking at a population curve that's kind of flattening out, and that kind of thing, it doesn't bode well for our country's future when we have a flat population
curve.
And
even truck drivers, too, because, you know, a lot of that stuff has to be transported. One place where it's being, you know, like a rocket engine needs to have parts transported across on a flatbed and things like that.
Yep.
There's even a place there for commercial. All right, you're listening to Big William Cyberline, the world's first Polytech talk show. We'll be right back.